I love it. Anyway, good morning. It is still morning. The time is 7 minutes after 10 on Wednesday, February 15th, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday between 5:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. Now, I would like to share with you the exciting news regarding this program, and the news is that both Classical Discoveries and the Avant-Garde Edition can now be listened to on your computer at any time and at your convenience for 2 weeks after the MP3 files are posted on my website. Last week's programs are posted already, and the programs for this week will be posted within the next few days. Many of you have asked me about this for years, and I am happy to let you all know that this is now a reality. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, I am here with Alex Shapiro, and we have talked a bit about where you make your home. For those just tuning in, my guest Alex Shapiro lives on Washington State's remote San Juan Island. Now, Alex, how has your environment influenced your music?
Oh, tremendously. I've been living on the water pretty much my whole life, if you count the East River.
I guess you're right.
Really? And then the Hudson. I moved over to the west side. And then Malibu. And then now up on this wacky remote island. And it is remarkable to me how water... Maybe it's because I'm a sea goat. I don't know. I'm a Capricorn. No. But the water is hugely important to me. I'm a sailor and a kayaker. I love being immersed as much as possible and looking at the squishy things inside and beneath the surface and inside the water. And the rhythms and the irregular rhythms of the water are mesmerizing. I'm not saying anything that anyone listening doesn't already know and doesn't feel themselves, I'm sure. And as a musician, we internalize this. For me, it is a way to translate. Music is a way to translate the profound effect of my surroundings in a way that completely bypasses words and visuals. As many pictures as I take, as many words as I write in essays and what have you, there's no way for me to...
It's not like being there.
Yeah, it's not like being there, and there's no way for me to be able to share it with people better than through music, through something completely nonverbal and nonvisual.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I have to say I'm getting more and more jealous every minute of this interview.
Come on up.
Let's go now to musical topics a little bit about composers whom you have been drawn to or who have influenced you over the years. Your answer to this is a little different.
Well, it's always the same, because this is a pretty good question to ask any composer, except for someone like
Alex,
me.
But not Alex Shapiro.
I'm influenced by absolutely everything I hear, and I love so many different kinds of music. I'm not one of these composers who had one particular or a handful of particular influences. For me, it's just been input in so many different directions, so many different genres. One of the things that I love particularly about being a composer in 2012 and beyond is that everything goes. We are pan-genre. We can write anything we hear and put anything together in any way, be influenced by all kinds of things, and it all works.
That's right.
It's the most exciting time. There's never been a better time to be a composer.
I say this constantly. And I say that constantly, too. In fact, I just had 2 piano workshops last week, and I said that openly. I said there is something for everybody. And the point is that we just have to, and we'll talk probably a little more about this later, but we have to get over this barrier where people feel that contemporary music is just avant-garde discords, dissonance, and atonal music.
And
so
the people who say that, I think, are not getting out to enough concerts and not hearing the wonderful range. Pantonal is what I like to call it, just everything. They're not hearing the wonderful range of stuff that's being done. I mean, somehow everything's been frozen in time from about 60 years ago in their minds, and I don't know why that is, but it's our job as advocates and music makers and music lovers to change that perception.
Yeah, I think what happened personally through the years is now, as we've talked about, it's wonderful. It's most exciting. It's incredible, and I could go on and on and on about it. But I think what happened, as much as I enjoy post-World War II avant-garde music, I think some of that is maybe responsible for this preconceived notion about the public or many of the people. They, you know, I always give the example. You go to a concert with friends in a restaurant. Have a cup of, you're sitting with coffee. The first piece is by a composer you never heard of, written today. And I say, how many, and I'll do this at my workshops and presentations, I'll say, how many of you will go and be interested in what's being heard or sit with your friends for another 15 minutes and have another cup of coffee? The answer I get almost 100% is, I think you're going to know. Is I'm going to sit and have another cup of coffee. And this is where we've got to get over. There's a hurdle there.
That's right. There is a hurdle. And one thing, obviously, I'm a big fan of what it is to sit in a concert hall and pay full attention to a piece of music, be it old or new.
Of course.
But I have to say something that I don't think gets addressed maybe enough, is that we are now, our society has changed, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. It has changed. We are a society of people, especially younger people coming up, and I me too, for that matter. We're all in front of screens all the time. We're interacting in different ways constantly. We're multitasking. We are living our lives on a minute-by-minute basis in a very, very different way than we did 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that the arts have a responsibility to address that and to become relevant society and to the changes in society. And that means more comfortable listening environments. It's not that that we're going to get rid of the formal concert hall, but it also means that as more and more smaller ensembles are doing, bringing music into public living spaces where you can sit comfortably, you can slump down in your seat, you can have a beer in front of you, you can clap when someone solos, much less between movements. You know, you don't feel intimidated by the whole system.
That's a very good, you know, you have some of these places like Joe's Pub, you know, you'll have these things, and I'm sure you've read. Yeah. And I mean, there are things, and I mean, I think there is to make concert music or music by our living composers something within the experience of today.
Absolutely. Make it relevant and bring, you know, build an affinity between our existence as music makers and everybody else's existence as music lovers. And and there should just be a seamless bridge there. Music or any kind of art shouldn't be something special that you go to that's somehow compartmentalized from the rest of one's life. It should not be that. It should just be a general part of life, as it has been really for the vast majority of the human species experience on this planet. It's only more recently, really the past 100 plus years, 150 at the most,
and you know,
that we've made it so formal.
And you know, you can go online and go on to all these music centers, listen to music, incredible music. And I always am saying, you know, when I talk to people, I am just so, it hurts me when I hear gorgeous works from some of these countries out in Europe or Australia, New Zealand. And I think, gosh, would that bring the house down?
Yeah.
But when will we, there is a problem we've got to get out of the traditional stand in education all over.
And exposure. And this is something that advocates like you, Marvin, are doing so fantastically and necessarily, is you're playing this music for people. I've discovered pieces on your program that I never would have otherwise heard. I can say that for a lot of broadcast and internet exposure in general for music. Mm-hmm. This is the best time in history.
Absolutely.
To be just drenched in the fabulousness of what everybody around the world is creating. It's fantastic.
It is just incredible. Every style goes.
Yep.
I mean, you can hear a piece inspired by the Renaissance now.
Exactly.
And I mean, what's really amazing, I found with some of these composers, you'll see them writing works for early music ensembles of recorders, new music, and they have. The punky quality of our music of today. It's great.
As it should be. Music has always been a living thing. It was a living thing hundreds of years ago. Something happened where something got formally frozen in time. Our mission is to melt it.
That's
just
right.
To melt down those perceptions.
That's right.
I don't know what went awry. we want to fix it.
That's right. And we're going to do that. And we're going to talk a little bit more
about. We're starting a movement, folks.
Yes,
sign up now.
Yes. By the way, you can go on my Facebook. Oh, speaking of the times, I think I got a text message. No. Anyway, Alex, let's go now to another one of your recent works. We're going to listen to your Immersion, which is a symphony for winds, percussion, and pre-recorded soundscape. Now, I played this on my marathon back in the end of December, but I could not resist playing it with you as my guest today.
Great.
It's incredible.
Thank you.
And it's a very, I guess the work has to have a special importance for you based on its background.
Yeah.
And there's also a relationship between DEEP, the work we sign on,
yep,
with that. And why don't you take over?
Absolutely. Immersion is my ode to not only the sea, but our relationship to the sea and to its creatures, mm-hmm, and to an awful lot of things that we don't see. No pun intended. And there, it's in three movements. Each movement actually stands on its own as a separately, yeah, programmed piece, and it's, mm-hmm, and it's now been played at, in that manner as well. But the three movements are Beneath, excuse me, Depth, I'm getting them in the wrong order, Depth, Surface, and Beneath. And the interesting thing that I thought would be interesting for your listeners, mm-hmm, our listeners this morning, is, yeah, the two outer movements use the accompanying tracks of two existing pieces. I use the track from the piece that you heard at the top of this program, which is called Deep, and I turned that into Depth. It is virtually the same music, but instead of one lone contrabassoon, we now have an entire symphonic wind band of about, I don't know, 70, 80 people. It's fantastic. It's just, you'll hear the expansiveness, yeah, of the sound. And the same thing for the last movement, Beneath. We're going to end this program,
which we're
going to
sign the program with.
We're going to sign
that,
off,
yes,
with a beautiful recording that Peter Sheridan, who lives, flew us down in Australia.
Australia.
He's American, but he's living down in Melbourne. And he, on his contrabass flute, had commissioned a piece for contrabass flute and electronics. It was Below. There's a whale in there, as you're going to hear. And,
oh, love it. Love it.
And then I took that track and a little bit of Peter's playing and made that into the symphonic wind band version Beneath. Mm-hmm. And the middle movement is brand new. It's something called Surface, which is fast and furious. And it pretty much is my reaction to watching, I'm not making this up, folks, to watching a sea lion eat an enormous, huge red Pacific red octopus in front of me. And the limbs and the tentacles are flailing and the suction cups are wrapping around the sea lion's face and there's thrashing and flailing and suddenly, mm-hmm, unexpected calm when the, yeah, sea lion and the unfortunate octopus, who I think lost this battle, go under the water and then suddenly, you know, they're up again. It was quite a scene. You can actually see pictures of this, some of my better pictures,
on
my
blog.
If you go back, yeah, or type in octopus or something, you'll see it. This was, I swear to God, if I weren't a musician, I would either be a marine biologist or a National Geographic photographer. That would be my dream job.
I say, even though you say, Alex, your pictures are very, they're great, and you've got to go and look at them, all of you, on her blog.
I have so much fun sharing this aspect of where does the music come from. I mean, this is something I love telling, you know, any,
yeah,
artist friend or any person, is that it's all about relationships. It's all about building this connection between us as the art makers and everyone else as the consumers of our art and the people who are going to enjoy it, and for them to have a connection with us as people, and what's important to, mm-hmm, us brings them closer into our music.
And that's
so
what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. So that's immersion is a great example of this. And the performance.
Yes.
I was just going to say, my great fortune has been to have an advocate of my music named Jerry Lucart,
yeah,
who has performed now all of my band works, I think, at the University of Minnesota. And it's their University of Minnesota Symphonic Band that made this. This is, again, not a commercially released recording. It's very special to be able to present this. This was recorded by Minnesota Public Radio when they recorded the premiere performance, which was back in February of 2011 at Ted Mann Hall in Minneapolis.
By the way, Alex, mm-hmm, I think I'll just let you know, it's exactly a year.
Is it
tomorrow?
Oh my gosh!
It's a year.
Isn't
today?
That
I'm looking
beautiful?
At this, and
oh,
I said,
wow,
today it's
it was
the
February
16th,
16th,
and today's the 15th.
That's right. So my huge thanks to the U of M band and to
wonderful.
Jerry,
it's
and
a wonderful
they
work
brought
and a
this to life
year.
Beautifully. You're going to hear something unedited and live. And in the last movement, we have live solos from the students there in the band,
beautiful.
And it's just
beautiful.
A lot of fun.
We hear Immersion by my guest Alex Shapiro.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Immersion, the Symphony for Winds, Percussion, and Pre-Recorded Soundscape by my guest, Alex Shapiro. In our performance, you heard the University of Minnesota Symphonic Band conducted by Jerry Luckhart, and that was the premiere performance as recorded on February 16, 2011 at Ted Mann Concert Hall in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Once again, that was Immersion by my guest, Alex Shapiro. And I am here with Alex Shapiro. Alex, it's a pleasure once again. Welcome back.
It's so much fun talking to you.
Yeah,
I feel,
really.
I swear to God, I feel like we have no...